now?
Sure.
Okay. First, let me say I appreciate this. All the input I can get is going to be very helpful. If you recall, I told you I'm trying to write a book on the bonus baby era.
Yeah.
And it's a slow process, but it's getting there.
I imagine.
I've still got to get up to Cooperstown to go through the National Baseball Library and find a whole lot of information that I don't have, but I'm laying the groundwork anyhow. If you don't mind, I'll ask you maybe 10 or 12 questions, and if you just answer them as long or as short as you want to, and if you don't want to answer something, don't answer it, or if you feel you have something to add, please add it.
Sure.
What was the amount of your bonus?
Total?
Yeah.
About 78.
Okay. What was it announced as? Do you remember?
50.
Okay. I have not found, that's not true, I found one person, I don't remember who it was, who actually received the amount that was announced.
Yeah, that's the way it was done.
Yeah, it's vastly different in both directions.
Yeah.
Who scouted you? Who was the signing scout for the White Sox?
Hollis Thurston.
Hollis Thurston, okay.
Well, I was actually signed by Comiskey, though.
Oh, you're the head man.
In Chicago, and I didn't sign here. They did. Comiskey signed me, and so.
Okay, but Thurston was the man who did the groundwork.
Yeah, he was the scout in Southern California.
How many teams were after you, do you recall?
Pardon me?
How many teams were after you, did you know?
Not really. Three to four that I know of.
Okay. Were there other offers made?
Oh, yeah.
And the White Sox beat them by a boatload?
Well, they basically said they beat any offer I got from the start.
Wow.
It didn't really matter when they wanted to sign me.
That's pretty good. Where'd you go to high school?
Southgate High School in Los Angeles.
Yeah, long time ago, I'm about your age, I guess, let's see, I'm 2 years younger than you. I first got married, my wife taught school at an elementary school in Southgate, and we lived there for a year. I don't remember the name of the school now, it's been so long ago. But it was the same neighborhood.
Could be.
Is, by any chance, your high school record available? Most of the schools back then kept a scorebook, which they proceeded to lose as soon as the game was over, I think.
Yeah, I really don't know. There's been some articles I think I have on strikeouts and the ERA and stuff like that. I think I have some. But...
Okay. If I sent you an envelope, could you see if you could dig them out and send me some information on it?
Sure.
Okay, thank you. Do you know whose roster spot you took when you joined the White Sox?
Didn't, because when I went there was in September and the roster was expanded at
okay.
that time.
Yeah.
So it really wasn't a one-for-one replacement.
Several fellows were signed with that point in mind, joining them after September 1st.
Well, they can... you want to hang on just a moment?
Sure. What kind of reception did you receive from the veteran players on the White Sox?
I would say the majority, it was fine. There wasn't any. I got a lot of razzing,
sure.
Kidding about the amount of money because at that time it was more than shit most of them were all making.
That's right.
So, but it there wasn't. Other than maybe a couple isolated cases, any real hard feelings.
Okay, were the veterans helpful to you?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, definitely. Overall, yeah, they were.
One of the the first person who suggested this book was Jim Small, and he said he was living at home in high school, and he was required to be home by 9 o'clock every night. And then he signed a contract with Detroit and found himself in New York 3 days later. And people with their hands out for tips and expected to eat out in restaurants. And he said the adjustment was just absolutely overwhelming. Did you find this a problem?
No, not really.
Okay.
No, I was only 16 when I went there.
Right.
But my uncle had played in the major leagues and played about 10 years in the then Pacific Coast League, and my dad had played a couple of years of professional ball, and it wasn't real foreign to me.
Okay, well, that's good. Who was your uncle?
His name was Herm Rich. He played a year or so with the Cubs in Cleveland.
Okay, I remember the name, yeah.
Played in the Coast League for a lot of years.
What kind of coaching did you receive? I've gotten a lot of answers. The position players seem to say, for the most part, they got good coaching, but the pitchers mostly say they don't think the coaching was adequate.
Well, I really didn't have any coaching at all as far as pitching. I didn't do that much pitching. I got a lot of coaching playing first base in the outfield from my uncle and from my dad. But as far as pitching, in fact, my dad tried to keep me as far away from it as possible because of, you know, you hurt your arm, you're out of there.
Right.
So I really, other than straight baseball knowledge from those two people that knew something about it, I really didn't have much coaching in as far as the pitching end of it.
When you joined the White Sox, was there any?
Not near as much as I would have expected.
Okay, so you were out there expected to do it yourself at that point?
Yeah, you had the pitching coach per se, and I think I learned more about pitching itself from other pitchers there than I did, you know, as far as straight coaching.
Uh-huh.
It was very limited.
Was there anybody in particular who went out of their way to help you?
Yeah, Dick Donovan did.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I would have been surprised. I would have guessed several players before I guessed him.
Well, he was a very private person, but I happened to wound up rooming with him. And he was very straight-laced, straightforward. I mean, he was diehard, a Irish Catholic from New England, and maybe that's why they had me room with him, keep me in line. But
yeah.
I found him to be a very straight person, very honest, very dedicated. It took him about 10, 15 years to get to the big leagues.
Yeah.
And he knew a lot about pitching and knew a lot about the game itself. And I guess I was fortunate in a way to room with him, and because he didn't go out of his way to relate anything to a lot of people. But he talked with me quite a bit, and he liked me a lot. Because I was Irish Catholic, too, so he kind of liked that, too.
Well, good. Yeah, he... reputation of being a tough man.
Oh, absolutely. I was tough on the mound, too.
Yes, he was.
He was nasty.
Yeah, he seemed to get better every year for many years.
Nobody's going to take his job. It took me a long time to get here, and ain't nobody taking it away. Get her walking up there taking it away from me.
I guess that's the way you got today when you got the guaranteed contract, maybe not, but back then. It's
a lot different.
Yeah. What about your managers? Marty Marion did not have a reputation for particularly caring for young ballplayers. Lopez did. How did you get along with them?
Well, Marion, I was only there the end of 1956, so I couldn't really comment on Marion at all.
Okay.
Lopez, I spent 57 there, and then spring training 2 years after, and I didn't have any real... as I look back... not very communicable at all. I mean, I didn't talk with him hardly at all. But as I look back now, he really gave me a lot of opportunity. I don't know, he's not giving me an opportunity, maybe. Obviously thought I could do, because we were in a pennant race all of 57 there, and we damn near could have won the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought me in a lot of games, I think about 15 some games or so in relief, and I started five games, being 17 years old in a pennant race, I look back and as I see things happen now, he used me a hell of a lot under the circumstances. So as far as given a chance to throw and everything, he did a lot. But as far as communication with him, there was almost none.
Well, you were one of the more used bonus baby pitchers.
Yeah, I know. That's why I look back, I see it now. I, at the time, I thought I wasn't getting any chance at all. As I look at it, yeah, I really did.
There were a lot of boys, 3 and 4 games. A couple of kids didn't have any games.
Oh, yeah. And we were right in the thick of that thing all year.
Talking about the pennant race, were you voted a World Series share for the finish?
Right.
Okay, a couple of boys were shorted very badly. They got money, but they were really, really shorted.
Yeah.
Okay, your first start, September 30th, 1956. You remember that? I guess
yeah.
You couldn't forget it.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Pardon me?
Tell me about it. Tell me what you recall.
I was really probably more nervous actually pitching. See, I really hadn't pitched all that much. In fact, I got a base hit the first time up.
The youngest man ever to do it in the American League.
And after the first inning or so, it wasn't too bad. You know, I kind of settled down after that. I think I threw 2, 3, 4 innings there and shut them out. It was really hell the first inning or two. I got, was all over the damn place with it. But, I don't know. I played a lot of ball against professionals and everything. And it wasn't really as much of who I was against and everything. Just being in professional ball and everything.
Right, I can understand that.
In fact, that was one of the reasons Comiskey, when I signed, he wanted to meet me and everything first because of my age and whether he thought I was able to handle just living day to day under the circumstance of big cities and stuff like that, and whether I would be able to go out on the field and even play against major league ball players at 16 years old. He says, I got to meet this kid before anybody signs him anywhere.
Sure.
So, but I didn't have that problem because I'd always been around ball players.
Mm-hmm.
I really knew a lot about the game itself and how players acted, and you know, it wasn't that much of a cultural shock or having to look up to people I'd read about. All you know, as a lot of kids had that, I'm sure happened to them.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's just a complete good God. All of a sudden, these are major league players. Well, I knew major league players, so it wasn't that much. Factor, but hell, I was nervous the first couple of innings. After that, it was.
You actually didn't give a bad account of yourself. The control may have done you in.
Yeah, I'd start with the first couple of innings. I was all over the place.
Mm-hmm. 6 walks and 6 innings.
Yeah, it's probably 4 of them the first 2 innings.
Who was it against?
Kansas City.
All right, I've got that right here in front of me. Okay. They rescinded the bonus rule after the 57 season. Where did you go?
I went to Indianapolis for about the first 2 or 3 weeks, and I got a little sick there. I started opening night in Denver in the snow, for Christ's sake. I was out a week or so, and then they sent me to Colorado Springs in the Western League and A-League, and I finished the season there. The whole year there.
Where'd you go from there?
After Colorado Springs, how did I go? That's 58, wasn't it? Yeah, and 59. 69, I went to Charleston, then I headed in the Sally League.
Mm-hmm.
Made the all-star team, and I was top 4 or 5 and everything. ERA, strikeouts, innings pitched, everything. And the end of the year, they sold, just before the season was over, I got notification, I got sold to Sacramento in the Pacific Coast League, and I was thrilled to death, because that was, at that time, was a Brave farm team.
Mm-hmm.
And they had no pitching at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thrilled to death. Finished the season in Sacramento, which is only a couple of weeks. But then during the winter, I got notification that I got sold from San Diego, from Sacramento to San Diego. San Diego happened to be the AAA farm club of the White Sox, so I was right back where I should be.
How long did you play from that point?
I went to spring training in 1960 and with San Diego, and after the 59 year I'd had, which was real good, I went to spring training in 60, and I was supposed to be the opening day pitcher, and I was throwing as good or better than I ever had, and that's when I hurt my arm in spring training.
Oh boy, was that it?
No, then, because I still could hit real well. In fact, the opening day for San Diego in the Coast League, I was playing right field. And I played there for about 2 weeks or so until the season opened at Charleston again. They sent me back to Charleston. I played all year there as a first baseman and outfielder. And that was in 60, and then 61... That winter, I worked. I found out that if I was going to be back to the big leagues in any way, shape, or form, it'd be as a pitcher. So that winter, I worked hard and was ready for spring training. Went to spring training, and they sent me to Mobile in the Southern Association, which was a Mets farm club. That was the first, the top. Farm club for the Mets their first year. It was their first farm club. And they needed ball players, so I got sent there, and I was thrilled to death about that, but I was only there about a month, and they sent me to Lincoln, Nebraska, which was a White Sox farm club.
Oh, no.
And I finished the year out there, and I got through there, and I knew then that my arm felt okay, but felt fine, but I just couldn't throw. And the doctor told me that when I'd heard it. I asked him at the time, what was the situation? Just gave you a bunch of cortisone, and the doctor says, well, you'll be able to throw again, but you'll never be able to throw like you did before. And I says, oh, okay. And that's exactly what happened. I went back to pitching, and I could throw, and I got him out, and I was a Class B Midwest League, and I got him out there, but I mean, I didn't sit in the habit. I figured, well, I'll give it one more winter, and then I went back to spring training in 61, and just didn't have it, and they gave me no release.
And you left baseball at that point?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you, this is a hard question and probably not answerable. First of all, what's your opinion of the bonus rule? Do you think the inactivity had any effect on you? Do you think this was part of your problem, or do you think the arm was going to be hurt anyhow?
Geez, I don't know. That's a hard one to answer. I really have no idea. Who's to say? That's almost impossible.
Right, I assumed it was. Just
nothing to relate, I would have no idea.
What is your overall opinion then of the bonus rule in general?
Mine, as far as personally, I had no problem with it at all, because I played against professional players and all that, and the effect that I did, I had a couple of rocky starts, but relief. The 15 or so relief appearances I had, I think my ERA was under 2. And I had no problem. I felt like I could pitch there. It didn't really me personally, I thought it was fine. I didn't. I would have liked to have pitched more. And in that, by saying that, I guess I'm saying, yeah, I shouldn't have been there because they really couldn't afford to use me as much as I'd like to have thrown.
Sure. Well, when you look at your record in 57 against every other pitcher in the American League in 57, you certainly weren't overwhelmed by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
You know, if some of those other guys belonged there, then you obviously belonged, which is something that you can't say about the vast majority of the bonus babies at that point in their career. And they were older, too, at that point, too. Okay, well, here's a question that... do you remember Stover McIlwain?
Oh, he was a very, very good friend of mine.
Okay.
Very good friend.
A lot of the guys in the White Sox don't remember him at all. Ron Jackson doesn't remember him. Bob Keegan doesn't remember him.
Well, I lived with Stover in the minor leagues in Charleston. We lived together.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, you two guys were both 17 years old in the major leagues.
Yeah.
That's, I think that's the last time we'll see... Probably never see a 17-year-old again there, but that's the last time we'll see two at the same time, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Him and I were real good friends.
Was he a good pitcher?
Well, I think he was a lot better pitcher than he thought he was. He fought himself a lot.
Well, that's the worst one you got to fight, too.
Yeah. I think he was always trying to do more than he needed to do. He was good enough as it was. I think he had a lot more mentally problem pitching than I think he did physically. He had good stuff.
He was relatively effective in the couple of chances he got.
Yeah, that's what I say. He had good stuff, but he fought himself so much. I played with him all through the minor leagues, off and on, too. Like I say, we lived together in Charleston, played there together. He fought himself a lot.
Died in an automobile accident, is that correct?
He's awful young when he died.
26 or something like that,
27? Yeah.
Yeah. I was, you know, Jackson was a bonus baby the same time. I guess he was there, a year before you?
Oh, yeah, I know him real well.
He didn't remember McIlwain. He said the name was vaguely familiar, but he said he couldn't begin to talk about it.
Yeah, he come up for a couple of weeks there is all at the end of 57.
He was there, I think, for about 2 weeks, both 57 and 58.
Yeah.
And then went. Keegan has no recollection. He remembers you well.
Yeah, well, I spent all year with him in the bullpen. Got to know him real well.
So that pretty much covers what I needed to ask you, Jim. I will stick an envelope out in the mail, and if you can find something on your high school record, I'd appreciate it.
Sure.
If I have more questions down the road, can I call you back?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, great. Thank you. I will have more questions, I'm pretty sure.
Appreciate a copy of it, too.
Pardon me?
Get the book together, appreciate a copy.
Oh, by all means. Well, first of all, before anything even goes to a publisher, and I really think I'll get it done, but it may take me a year or so. I will send you all that pertains to you before, so you can read it and make sure that what I'm saying is what you want to say. I'm not misquoting you or you know, nothing that you don't want in there.
Very good.
I always feel better doing that anytime I interview somebody.
Yes.
And yes, by all means, once it's published, and I'm at least 75% sure it will be, I will definitely send you a copy of the book.
Terrific.
Okay. Thank you, Jim, for your time.
Thank you.
Bye.